water and we'll get started. So again, last week we kind of took a break, a little bit of a hiatus from our series, and we talked about what a church is, and I'm excited about today as we talk really about what we're supposed to do, what's our purpose as a church this morning in the main service. So I appreciate your prayers on that. Looking forward to that. There they are, the three phrases that I've been telling you about. Out right there, unveiled and everything. So I'm looking forward to that this morning in the main service. But for this service, we're back in our series of field training, learning how to work the field, learning how to reach the lost. And we have said that if we want to reach the lost, it looks a lot like inviting, introducing people to each other. And when you introduce two people to each other, you need to know both of them well, right? You need to have a friend, and then you need to have another friend, and those two friends don't know each other. And then you make them friends, right? That's how it works when you introduce two people. And that is exactly what we're called to do as we reach the lost. And so we need to know God first. That's the first and foremost thing, obviously. Just as a person, as a human being, we were created to know Him. And so personally, we need that. But as a soul winner, we need that. Because as we reach the lost, we need to know who God is and need to learn to know Him well. That way we can introduce our friends to Him. But then we need to get to know the lost. We need to know the lost in a personal way, so that we can introduce them to our other personal friend who is God Almighty. Amen? And so we did a whole series on getting to know God. We are in the middle of our series on getting to know the lost, and we are going to deal with communication today. And so if you would find your place in Colossians 4 this morning, Colossians chapter number 4. And whenever you find your place there, if you wouldn't mind to stand, we'll read our verses, Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. There, say amen. Kind of a smaller book there, and all the epistles. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul says this: "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without." Without those are the lost. We need to walk toward them, redeeming the time. How do you do that? Verse 6. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Communication is vitally important. We need to learn how to talk to people. In this day and age, we're losing that more and more. You know, the digital age we live in, the fast-paced age, honestly, just the political environment, things like that. We kind of have forgotten as a society how to talk to people and communicate, but we can't let that affect our church and ourselves. We need to learn to talk and communicate even with the lost. And the lost, you know, there's something about them. You know, if we think about a political environment, we have two sides who think differently, and we used to be able to talk about ideas in a civil way, can do that. we've lost the art of talking to somebody who doesn't agree with us in a big way. Well, there's no bigger difference than there is between a saved person and a lost person. But we need to learn how to communicate with the lost. And it's gonna really matter. So let's pray, and we'll talk about it. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you, God, that you reached out to us. And we didn't deserve that. And Lord, you decided, though, to move toward us and to speak to us, Lord, through your word, and given us, Lord, your Holy Spirit to work and convict in our heart. And we're just so thankful for that. We don't deserve that. And God, help us now to have a burden to reach those who are without. And Lord, help us to learn how to do that, not just a desire, but Lord, an ability and skills that it takes to talk to others and communicate. So I pray that you bless today. Help me to explain that and teach that this time. With that in Christ, and I pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We'll just jump right into our notes here this morning. As you can tell, my introduction is lengthy here. Pretty much wrote what I'm going to say. So let's jump right into it. And so we read Colossians. And if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, he wrote, by the way, the book of Colossians, then you know this, that he has a burden for reaching the lost. That's the point. Apostle Paul had a burden for reaching the lost. In fact, just a few verses prior to these that we read, he asked for prayer as he spread the gospel. Let's actually look at that. Look at, if you're there in Colossians 4, look in verse 1. He says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Verse 2, "Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us," that means Paul and his team, "that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." And so Paul was out talking to and communicating to the lost, and he needed help with that. And he was constantly working on that, and he was constantly begging for prayers from God's people to help him as he would speak and communicate to the lost. Back in our notes, the third line there, but Paul's burden was not that only he would reach the lost. He also had a burden that others, that's the blank, others would be involved with reaching, as he put it, them that are without. The blank there is others. Paul's burden is that every Christian is involved in reaching the lost. And as Paul was coming to the end of this letter to the church of Colossae, some of his closing words were these: "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man." And so as we look at these two verses, there's a few things that we want to note about what Paul challenged this church to do. First is this. Notice that Paul challenged them to walk toward, that's the blank, to walk toward them that are without. Now, we said this, but by them that are without, Paul is referring to the lost. Those who are not in Christ, those who are not in the family of Christ, they're the lost. They're without. And so that means that you have to be around the lost. If you're going to walk toward them, you need to be around them. But not only that, but you need to be walking toward them. You need to be walking toward them. Well, what does that mean? Don't just stumble into the lives of the lost. You need to intentionally enter, that's the blank, their lives. Don't just reach the lost as you happen to bump into them. Paul says to walk toward them. Seek them out and head their direction. That implies you can't wait for the lost to come to you. If you're going to be an effective field worker, you need to be actively reaching the lost, redeeming the time, as Paul said at the end of verse 5. Why? Because the blank is this: time. Time is not on the side of your friends, of your lost friends. You cannot afford for it just to happen to work out that you guys are talking to each other. You can't afford that. If you're waiting for that, the devil knows that, and he will do everything he can to make sure that conversation never happens. We need to be walking toward the lost. They're not promised another breath. Seriously. Anybody, no matter how well their health seems to be, can literally pass into eternity at any time. You never know. The rapture can happen at any second. And then if that happens, your lost friends would be here. And if you're here on Wednesday nights, you know what that means, and you don't want that for them. So time's not on their side. And so the longer you wait to walk toward them, the more you are risking them passing into an eternity without Christ. They're without, and they can't stay that way. You see? So that's the first thing, walk toward them. The second thing is to notice is that Paul said you need to be wise. That's the blank. You need to be wise as you do this. Because when you enter the lives of the lost, there is a danger of allowing yourself to be influenced by their sinful lifestyle. That's the other blank. And you know, sometimes that sounds rude or demeaning. It's not demeaning. It's just the reality. Because they're lost. And you know, sometimes we get so upset with the lost that they sin. But that they're lost. They're going to sin. And no matter how, quote unquote, put together someone looks, if they do not know Christ, here's what we can know about them. They are dead in trespasses and sins. They are lost. They are bound. They are enslaved to sin somehow. And sometimes we think, oh, they're a good person. I'll go talk to them. There is no good person. The most put together lost friend you know is bound right now in some kind of sin. And by the way, no matter what kind of sinful lifestyle someone is leading, we're called to reach them with the gospel. We don't only reach the ones that we think are doing well and doing good. We need to reach even the outcast. We need to reach the ones who are in what we would, in our society, in our lost society, would deem, quote unquote, bad people. Because if we only reached good people, we wouldn't reach anybody. And Jesus did. He reached out to the publicans, didn't he? He reached out to the harlots. He reached. Now you have to be careful with that, don't you? And he was, but he didn't allow that they're sinners to prevent him from reaching them and walking toward them. Are you seeing that? And we need to do that. Okay? But to do that requires wisdom. It does require wisdom. And this, a refusal to compromise holy living. That's the point. You cannot compromise holy living. You cannot want to connect with them so much that you begin to sin with them so that and be carnal with them and talk about sinful things with them and say, oh, you do that? Oh, me too. Okay, there's a place for that. You're confessing you sin, but there's difference between, yeah, let's both gossip about the boss so we can connect. Or let's be involved with this lie so that we can connect. Let's talk about this sinful, topic or sinful movie or scene or something. You know what I'm talking about? Let's not connect with carnality. We need to never compromise our holy living. Yeah, I go to church, but I don't really care too much about that. We have to. No, you're trying to connect with the lost by compromising. We can't do that. You seen that? Very careful. Be wise. Here's the next line there. We don't have to be like them that are without to walk toward them that are without. Remember, they are without. And without for a reason. Not because you're better than them, but because you're a new creature and they need to be. And if you have something that they need and they don't have it yet. And so if you become exactly like them that are without, then why would they want what you have? And how can you walk toward them if you're with them? Are you seeing that? And so we're called to be a city of light on a hill in the darkness. We're not called to cover our light and fit in with the darkness. But we are called to walk toward the darkness. It's a very big difference, and I hope you're catching that. All right. The third thing is to notice in these two verses is this. As we walk toward them that are without, we need to be wise about what we say. That's the point, what we say. The way we communicate with the lost is very, very important. Paul explained it in the next verse. He said, our speech should be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And so reaching the lost is a very personal endeavor. That's the thing. It's very personal. We dealt with that last week. It's very personal. And Paul says every man. And every man is different. This isn't a cookie cutter thing. Reaching the lost is not a step-by-step system and process. This isn't a salvation factory that we're a part of. We're not dealing with items and products. We're dealing with people. And remember this, in reaching the lost and with dealing with our church family, dealing with your family, with things, think efficient, but with people, think effective. And oftentimes with people, efficient is not effective. If you push something down someone's throat and trying to make it happen quickly, usually that's not very effective. Remember, Jesus talked about the plant that shoots up fast. It falls over. Even if they hear you and they get excited quickly, usually that means they're not really listening. They're not really trying to understand. They're just making a decision. They're just getting caught up in the moment. But when you deal with people and you communicate, it's not always efficient. In fact, it's almost never efficient when you're being effective. Because you want to connect. You're not just throwing information at people. You're connecting with people. You're communicating with people. Okay. So every man is different. Every conversation is different. And so what you need to do then is learn how ye ought to answer every man. The way you answer one person is different than how you answer another person. You see that? We need to learn these things. We need to learn. Here's what he's saying. We need to learn how to communicate. And the goal in communicating with the lost is that the conversation be like this, always with grace, seasoned with salt. And so you can put it this way. Every time you have a conversation with the lost, you want to leave a good taste in their mouth. You can put it that way. You don't want to leave and them thinking, wow, that person is a jerk. Can I say that word? I don't care. I just care. You don't want to get on their case and blow them up. Paul says, always with grace, seasoned with salt. The lost are lost. And it's very deep, but you need to know that. They're sinful. And let's not be shocked by their sin. Let's be burdened by their sin. And let's try to help them out of their sin. And the only way out is not to try to get them to stop doing it. The only way out is to show them Christ. And they need grace is what they need, isn't it? They need grace. And so that's what we need. And so if you want to be effective as you reach the lost, you're going to have to learn to be a good communicator. Now, some of you are getting really nervous right now because some of you are introverts and you say, I don't like talking to people. And you might be thinking in the next paragraph, you might say these words in your mind, I am not a good communicator. And if you're thinking that way, I want to encourage you to stop doing that, all right? And change the sentence to this, I am not a good communicator yet. All capitals, yet. You might not be a good communicator, but that's not a definition of who you are. That's just where you're at. Because everyone needs to be a good communicator if they're going to reach the lost. And, by the way, we all need to reach the lost. And that means everyone in this room needs to learn how to communicate to people. And you can learn it. And if you think you're already a good communicator, I would encourage you to always be working at being a better communicator. We always need to be working on this and sharpening how we communicate to people. That's the blank there. Because God has called us to reach the lost. He has called you to reach the lost. He has called you to be an ambassador. And that involves walking in wisdom toward them, toward the lost, and learning how to answer every man. And that means that, with God's help, you can learn to do this. I want to stop and park here for a while. If God wants you to do it, you can do it. And you need to stop with the, I can't do it, and this is who I am. This is who I've always been. This is how I'm wired. No, you're not an animal. You're not a product of your instincts, and that's it. You are a human who God created with self-awareness and an ability to change and choose. And if God wants you to do something, you can do that. And if He wants you to do that, He'll help you do that. And if you say, I can't communicate, or I can't stop doing this thing, or I can't do this thing that God wants me to do, what you're doing is telling God, He can't do that. You're not saying, I can't do that. You're saying, God can't do that, because God said He wants to do that. Isn't that what Gideon did? God said, Gideon, I'm going to use you. Gideon says, no, you're not. He wasn't. It sounds like he's being humble, but what he's doing is questioning God's ability to use them. And if you're here saying, oh, I just can't do that, you're not being humble. You're not trusting God. And you're attacking His ability to use you. And He can use you. All right? So Am I clear? You can be a good communicator. You can. And you can, but you need to learn how to do that. You need to, Paul said, we need to learn. So it's not, this isn't a passive thing. It's not something that's just going to happen just because we're saved. There are things that happen just because we're saved. But this isn't one of them. So we need to actively learn. We need to be involved with learning how to answer every man. And so not only can you do this, you must do this. Why? Because Paul said, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. And being a good communicator is not in your DNA. It is a set of skills that anybody on planet Earth can learn. And in this lesson, we're gonna teach you how, okay? We'll do our best. There's a lot on this. And you can learn, you can spend your whole life learning how to be a better communicator and never get all of it. But I'm gonna give you some basic stuff to help you, all right? But none of it's gonna matter if you haven't already decided that you have a desire to communicate better with people, specifically the lost. This lesson is gonna be more than just the lost. We need to communicate better with everybody, don't we? We need to communicate better with our church families. We need to know how to talk to each other without offending each other. We need to learn how to take offense and handle that rock properly and talk about it. We need to learn how to comfort one another. We need to learn how to empathize and have compassion on one another. We need to learn how to correct and rebuke one another. We need to learn how to communicate with our families. Instead of communicating with everybody on planet Earth on our phones, we need to learn how to communicate with our families, with our wife, our husband, with our children. This is very important, isn't it? We need to learn how to communicate with our coworkers. Because we need to be in a place where we can develop a relationship with them, but if we never talk with them, we don't know how to talk with them, we can't have a relationship with them. Have you seen that? And if you don't have a relationship with them, it's going to be very difficult to get them the gospel. And so we need this, don't we? We need this. And we need a desire for this, and we need to decide by faith that God will help you do that. Not pray, God, if you would please help me. You know? It's more like this. God, I know you want me to do this, and I trust that you're going to help me with this. I need your help. We need to pray in faith. That's what James says, right? Nothing wavering. Praying knowing that, being confident that God has already told you to do this, and then praying with a confidence that says, God, I know you're going to help me. Does that make sense? And then from that premise, learn. But if you've already decided I can't do this, this is a waste of time. That's why I'm parking right here. Okay? And smiley. All right. Number one. God created us to crave, that's the blank, to crave connection and genuine relationship. Crave is C-R-A-V-E. All right. God is a relational being, isn't he? You know this. He exists as a Trinity. He himself exists as a Trinity. And before God ever created man, he said these words, let us, that's the blank, make man in our image. Let us make man in our image. Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit enjoyed a perfect relationship and connection since eternity past. I'm sure you've thought through this, but maybe you haven't. When God said, let us make man in our image, who in the world was he talking to? Man wasn't here yet. He wasn't talking to a squirrel. Hey, squirrel, let's make man in our image. He was talking to himself, but he didn't say, I'm going to make man in my image. He said, let us make man. God is the Trinity, isn't he? He already has that. And they've had that perfect relationship and connection. Let it be. God created us in his image. That's the blank image. So God is a relational being, and he created us in his image. And so part of being an image bearer, all human beings bear his image in some sense. So part of being an image bearer of God is our desire for relationship. And I just want you to know this. Every human desires relationships. Some say they don't, but most of the time what that means is that someone hurt them in the past and they don't want to be hurt, but they do want a good relationship with people. They do. They were created. You can't get around it. You do. People crave that. They need that. They have a desire for that. God made us to desire deep, genuine relationship with Him. Primarily, fundamentally, that's the main thing. And that's where you'll find the true sense of fulfillment there, in a relationship with Him. But He also created us to desire deep, genuine relationships with others. See that? So let her see. At a fundamental level, all humans know how important communication and relationships are, even if they don't know God. That's the point. Even if they don't know God. Humans who are honest and thinking know how important it is to have community, how important it is to have fellowship with people, how important it is to communicate. In fact, scientists have recently begun to study communication and the way communication works. It's very interesting. There's this book that came out this year. It's called Super Communicators by Charles Duhigg. I meant to bring the book. There's a lot of stuff he says in there that is so frustrating because he's lost, right? And we're going to deal with some of that today. And so, but the science, true, legit, I'm going to say this, true, real, actual science always agrees with God, okay? Evolution is not science. Evolution is a theory. Evolution is a religion that they're trying to prove. That's not science. It's not actual science. Science is you have a hypothesis, and then you test it and see if it's true. You can't test evolution. There's nothing about it. They call it science. It's not true. And let's never be, as Christians, anti-science. Okay? It just bugs me. All right? Anyway, science is when we study this creation that God's given us. And so scientists have studied communication. And this man, Charles Duhigg, dug into scientific studies. And I'll just tell you, the premise of the book is he was having a problem communicating with people. He couldn't communicate with his wife. He took a position as a manager, and he couldn't communicate with the people underneath him, and he was frustrated. And we all know fundamentally that we're supposed to be able to communicate, but he couldn't do it. And so he dug into it. And what he's really good at is taking scientific research and stuff and making it where we can understand and use it practically, okay? So that's what he did. And so here's what happened. Scientists studied conversations where good communication and connection was happening versus conversations where poor communication and connection was happening. And we all know the difference, don't we? We see it. We feel it. When we have a good conversation with somebody and we're connecting with them and we're having a good talk, we know what that's like versus a bad conversation where we're not hearing each other and we're not even hardly talking the same language. You know what I'm saying? And so what these scientists did, he didn't do this, but scientists have been doing this for decades now. And they're actually studying. And in our day and age now, we can do things like take imaging of brain stuff, and we can test things, and we can calculate things in ways we weren't able to do before. Okay, and so they did that, and the results were very interesting. He said in his book, he said this: when we click with someone, right? We know what that means. It's interesting. Our eyes often start to dilate in tandem. They researched that, and they measured eye dilation. Our pulses begin to match. We feel the same emotions and start to complete each other's sentences within our heads. Because they would talk later about what were you thinking about during a conversation. They would mark all this down. And there's a word for it. It's called neural entrainment. And again, 100 years ago, we couldn't even study this. But they're starting to do that. Neural entrainment. Our brains actually begin, as we have a conversation with somebody, it's almost like we're constantly trying. Here's what's happening. We're trying to connect with them, and when it works, and our brains start to kind of sync in that way, and our eyes dilate the same way, and our pulse rate's the same, and we connect, then it's a good conversation. But when it doesn't work, we get frustrated. See it? Welcome to science class. All right. No, he said this later on. He said this. When we absorb what someone's saying, I'm talking about good communication, it's because our brains have, to some degree, aligned. And at that moment, our bodies, our pulses, our facial expressions, the emotions we experience, the prickling sensations even in our necks and our arms, you know what that's like, they often start to synchronize as well. And there's something about neural simultaneity, all right? That just means that we're doing the same thing, actually physically doing the same thing, that helps us listen more closely and speak more clearly. You know, you've been in a conversation where you know you're connecting with them and you're more free to communicate because you're not gonna feel like what you're gonna say is gonna hit a wall, but you're actually communicating with someone. And sometimes this connection occurs with just one person. Other times it happens within a group or a large audience. But whenever it happens, our brains and bodies become alike because we are, in the language of neuroscientists, neurally aligned. And they've studied that and they've proven that. And so, number four, if you're like, what are you talking about? This is what I'm talking about, okay? Scientists are discovering, they're discovering that our bodies, that's the blank, our bodies actually physically change to connect with others. Is that amazing? And we do that every time we talk. We're trying to connect physically. Our bodies just do that. Now, of course, as scientists discover stuff like this, and this guy's talking about this, they say dumb things like this. Our brains have evolved to connect with each other. And that's where I lose them. And that's where the science is out the window, and they're interjecting and getting way out. Okay? But they'll say, over millions of years, our brains have learned to do this. Stop. All right? Or they'll say, that's why humans are more superior species. Things like that. Or, this part of human evolution is what has helped us to develop societies and communities, and that's why we're different than animals. No, pause. We're different than animals because God created us to be humans, and we do this because we're not animals. We're not animals because we're like this. We're like this because we're not animals. God made us different, all right? Animals don't do this. Humans do because God created us, and He made us to connect. Not just in our minds, but physically. He made our bodies, didn't He? He made our brains. He made our eyes to dilate. He did this. He designed us to communicate and connect with other people. Because it's so frustrating to me as scientists do this, and they study, and they find all this amazing stuff, and then they just can't get to the end of it and say, wow, look what God did. They can't do that. Even though it's so obvious that this was designed. And this is what happens in every field of science. That as we just think about the stars and how amazing, how many there are. You know, that should lead you to say, in Romans said, that leads us to know there's a God. But they can't do that. And then we go down to the atomic level and we take atoms apart and stuff and cells apart and how intricate and designed everything is. But they just can't let themselves believe that this was designed by somebody. And it's the same here. That as they're studying it out, they're finding that there's something to this. And it's almost like we were designed to connect with others. It is like that, just so you know. We were designed physically to connect and communicate. So letter D is this. God, who is fundamentally a relational being, that's the point. God, who exists in three persons Himself, created us. And He created us in His image. And He created us to communicate with Him. And we are fundamentally relational beings. That's why we are the way we are. That's why the scientists found what they found. Because that's how God made us. Letter E. And because communication and connection are so vitally important, we should learn, that's the blank, we should learn to become better communicators. We have to do this. We have to do this. Again, I say being a good communicator is not something you're born with. To be a good communicator, you simply need to have a desire to communicate well and learn the skills of good communication. And so for the rest of this lesson, we're going to teach you those skills. Okay? Sound good? I'm looking forward to it. So this is the first one. Well, it's already 10:10. So I give you the first one. It's long. We'll give you the introduction to the first one. Okay? So number one is this. Recognize what kind of conversation you're having. What kind of conversation you're having. It's very important. Letter A, there are fundamentally two different types of conversation. Practical conversations, personal conversations. Those are the two blanks. And that's all I'll give you for right now. But I'll just give you a quick overview of what we're about to talk about next time. When you talk to somebody, we know what a practical conversation is like. We know what a personal conversation is like. Just think about it, right? And have you ever tried to talk to somebody about their day, about your day, and just telling them what's going on in your day, and then they start giving you advice? You ever done that? Like you're just unloading. You're just talking to them. Hey, I did this and that today, and this was kind of difficult, but you know, this was fun, and this right here, this part of my day was really hard. And then the other person's like, yeah, well, what you can do about that is this and this and this, and maybe you should this and this. Like, no, wait, stop. I was just talking to you about my day. All right? Or have you ever done this? Have you ever tried to make a decision? Like you've come into a conversation ready to decide something. We need to figure this out. And then the other person starts telling you all kinds of personal stories about their childhood. Ever happened to you? And both of those, you're frustrated. And usually it's not because the advice is bad. Usually it's very reasonable advice, and it probably would help your problem. But you're not here right now to talk about how to fix this. We're just talking. All right? Know it all, right? And then it's not like in that other conversation when you're trying to figure something out, it's not like you don't care about that childhood memory. Let's talk about that a different time. Right now, we're trying to decide this. And what's happening is you are having two different kinds of conversations at the same time, and you won't hear each other. And so somebody has got to humble themselves and match that conversation. Here's what we need to learn. Just do this. Let's have your conversation first, and then we'll have my conversation. But we come in with what we want to say, right? But we need to come in like this. What do you want to say? And then you have a conversation with them, and then what you'll find is usually they're ready to have a conversation with you. Does that make sense? Humble yourself. This isn't a manipulation tactic. This is a humility thing. Truly talk to somebody. Take this with you. This will help you. Truly be interested in what they are saying. Not just interested in them hearing what you're saying. That'll help. And there's a lot of practical things that go along with that. We'll talk more about that next time, okay? But for now, we'll pray and we'll get some coffee. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for how you made us. God, we're just consistently overwhelmed, Lord, as we study this world, this universe that you've made, and even our own bodies that you've given us. And we study your word and we see how they synchronize perfectly together. Because you created both, Lord. You wrote your word and you created this world and you created us. And God, we're just humbled that you would do that. And Lord, help us to surrender ourselves to you and your design for us. Help us, God, to have a burden, first of all, to have a relationship with you, but then learn and have a burden to have a relationship with the lost, God, so that we can introduce them to you. And Lord, help us to humble ourselves and be genuinely interested in others and develop a relationship. Lord, we love you. May you bless our service to come. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.